The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. It is Wednesday, March 17th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Join us for the next 60 minutes of news, talk, information, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. We're so glad to be serving you here from beautiful Potland, Oregon. It's not a typo, it's a way of life, here in our Normal West Coast media headquarters. And joining us in our virtual studio from Astoria, Oregon, my good friend and half-sister, Cannabis Carrie.
St. Patrick's Day, Ross.
Hi,
happy
St. Patrick's Day to you. Are you wearing of the green?
Oh, my gosh. I had to go in the station today. I love it when my terrestrial radio station falls on a holiday because I love a good theme. So I am decked out in green from head to toe.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, we're all about the smoking of the green as well. So that's what we're talking about here at Normal Show Live. I've got my green shirt on and, of course, my Green Bay Packers green and yellow jelly bean tie. So that's all good. Also joining us here in the studio and running the board for his first ever show here is our good friend Maestro Ganja John. You can see him on the cam there. Welcome back, John.
Oh, my God. I'm so nervous.
So far, you have pushed the buttons perfectly.
Awesome.
All right. We'll keep John on the air here, and eventually we'll get more in this studio so that we can have John on the chat line as well, moderating the chat. Now, Cannabis Carrie brings us our headlines right after the top of the hour, or right after our first break, I should say. So, Carrie, what are we looking forward to in the news today?
Well, we have some more shocking violence south of the border, unfortunately, to report on. We're going to look at some decrim measures on the East Coast, and I have another shocking cannabis-related sports story that is coming up after the break.
All right, we'll check that out. Thank you so much, Carrie. We'll keep you on the line for now. And also, coming up on today's show, it's our Daily Toker Tunes. It's Irie Wednesday, but a special Irie Wednesday for St. Patrick's Day. Johnny Reefseed will be joining us from Iowa with a song from a group or a man, I'm not sure which, named Paddy Rasta. Paddy Rasta, like St. Paddy's Day. So we'll see how that comes up. Song's called 40 Shades of Green. How appropriate for today. Also on Wednesdays, we do our cannabis science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Mitch will be joining us to answer your questions from the chat room. You can just type them in at our stickem.com/normalshowlive. Get into the chat there. Ask your questions on cannabis science, history, culture, medicine, anything you want to know about cannabis, Dr. Mitch has the answer for you. Also, at the end of the show, a little bit of reefer madness. I'm going to be digging into the Christian Science Monitor and their recent editorial that praised the drug czar's speech, saying that marijuana legalization is a non-starter. All of that and coming up on Normal Show Live. Stick around. We got to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Oh. Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Hey everybody, it's your favorite giveaway guy, Gene Blinkendale, here with a fabulous new contest for all you tokers and tokettes out there. We've got 4 t-shirts from homegrown.com to give away to the first 4 listeners who send us an email, but wait, it's not that easy. Your email needs to contain 3 different responses from your state or federal elected officials on the subject of marijuana law reform, all dated after March 1st, 2010. Send in your 3 responses in an email to stash@normal.org with the subject line Homegrown T-Shirt Contest, and you could be a winner. By writing your elected officials, someday we all could be winners. I'm your giveaway guy, Gene Blinkendale, reminding you that there ain't no such thing as a free lunch, but a friend with weed is a friend indeed.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
A consulate employee and her husband as they drove in the border town of Juarez with their 1-year-old baby in the back seat. The infant was unharmed and is now in the custody of Mexican Social Services. These 2 murders happened only minutes after the husband of another consular employee was shot to death and his 2 children wounded on Sunday. The Mexican police are suspecting that it was a hit by a drug gang that carried out the murders. Mexican President Felipe Calderon said he was indignant and promised a swift investigation, and President Obama expressed outrage over the killings. Several U.S. cities have been killed in Mexico's drug war. Several U.S. citizens have been killed in Mexico's drug war, most of them people with family ties to Mexico. Civilians have increasingly gotten caught in the middle of drug gang violence that has made Juarez one of the deadliest cities in the world, with more than 2,500 people killed just last year alone. 11 people in Juarez and nearly 50 people across the region were killed just this last weekend. In response, the State Department authorized U.S. government employees at Ciudad Juarez and 5 other U.S. consulates in northern Mexico to send their family members out of the area because of concerns about rising drug violence. The State Department noted the U.S. Embassy in Mexico City has advised American citizens to delay unnecessary travel to parts of the Mexican states of Durango, Coahuila, and Chihuahua. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton said these appalling assaults on members of our own State Department family are sadly part of a growing tragedy besetting many communities in Mexico. Nearly 18,000 people have been killed since Calderon deployed tens of thousands of troops and federal police across the country in December of 2006. Acapulco, a popular tourist attraction and cruise ship port, reported a shootout that killed 8 gunmen and a 23-year-old woman who was caught in the crossfire as she rode a taxi this weekend. The U.S. State Department has issued its strongest travel warning yet, as thousands of college kids head down to soak up the sun on spring break. AAA is reporting that many students are staying away from Mexico this year. We hope the ones that do decide to go come home safely.
This Mexican drug war, boy, if this doesn't get the attention of our elected officials, I don't know what else will. You know, Secretary Clinton, mentioned that this terrible violence and that we need to do something about it. Well, Secretary Clinton, for the 5th time now, we have told you what you need to do about it. We have once again at change.org risen the question of legalization of the medical and recreational use of marijuana to the number 1 public policy question that the American people want the government to address. And this is no fluke. This is the fifth time it has happened. Open for questions, citizens briefing book, change.gov, change.org. Every time we're asked, marijuana legalization tops the list of people's votes. And this even goes when we're talking in this most recent one, the voting for some of the items, the top 10 items that showed up on that change.org, 6 of the 10 of them were fronted by nonprofit organizations. 3 of those nonprofits from Washington, D.C., people like the Livestrong Foundation, Lance Armstrong's organization, and so many others that are so well funded and coordinated. Meanwhile, the legalization of marijuana question was presented by one former military officer, Larry S. Talley, who's actually a LEAP speaker and has joined us on our program before, and a college student. And yet the American people are overwhelmingly picking this as the number one thing. And the reason why is because we're all smart enough to realize that it's the American demand for marijuana that is funding the murderous Mexican drug trafficking organizations that are leading to 18,000 Mexicans murdered in just 3 years, are leading to Ciudad Juarez having 7 murders a day on average. We understand the supply and demand of it. So long as we demand it, someone will supply it. And they don't care who gets killed. They don't care how much money they got to spend to get it to us. We are more than happy to put the Mexican drug trafficking organizations out of business and grow our marijuana here right in the United States. We grow it better. We'll do everything we can to put them out of business. But until the federal government realizes that trying to crack down harder just makes the problem worse, this problem is never going to end.
Towards decriminalization this week, a state Senate commission has recommended a decriminalization bill that states if anyone in the state who is over 18 years old and has less than an ounce of cannabis in their possession is only required to pay a $100 civil fine. Now, that money will go to the municipality in which the penalty was issued. No jail time, no criminal record. The panel, chaired by Senator Joshua Miller, voted on Tuesday to approve the contents of the 24-page final report that concludes that marijuana law reform would save Rhode Island substantial money by avoiding costly arrests and incarcerations due to simple possession of cannabis. Now, law enforcement representatives on the panel spoke out against the measure, as did Attorney General Patrick C. Lynch, calling marijuana a dangerous drug, and decriminalizing it would send the wrong message. Some law enforcement pointed out that the state would lose money because they would no longer be collecting the $93.50 on court fees on every single possession charge. But others say the estimate of how much the state could save on prison costs alone is anywhere from $232,000 to $2 million. Now, a separate report was issued on Monday by Commission member Nick Horton, a policy researcher for an organization that works with released prisoners. He suggests that it could be upwards of $12.7 million in potential taxpayer savings from not arresting, prosecuting, and jailing cannabis consumers. The commission voted 11-2 to approve the report, and now it gets sent to the full Senate for a vote.
You know, the only people that were calling against decriminalization there in that Senate panel were former members of law enforcement. That's it. I think there was 3 in total. Everyone else is fully on board with the idea that we need to decriminalize, not arrest and prosecute the personal users of cannabis. And that's good news. I'm glad they're making that step. But we got to understand that decriminalization is just a little baby step, right? It's kind of like, you know, the first aid where you stop the bleeding at the car wreck. You know, guys, you know, all out on the road, they're bleeding to death. You stop the bleeding, sure. But you got to get the guy to the hospital and get him some surgery if you really want him to live. And the same thing goes here with decriminalization. It stops the bleeding of the arrests for marijuana possession, but it does nothing to address the trafficking, the manufacture, the sales of marijuana, right? And some people will even argue that decriminalization in the short term harms the cause by creating a more emboldened cannabis consumer who's more willing to buy and use marijuana, therefore funding these organizations and these criminals that bring the marijuana to the consumer. Now, I don't completely agree with that. I still think decriminalization is worth it. You know, anything we can do to keep people from getting locked up in a cage for cannabis, even at some small level, you know, half a loaf's better than none. But let's all remember that decriminalization, while it's a good first step, doesn't go nearly far enough in what we need to do to end this stupid war on drugs.
In the world the sports, Lance Mackey has done what no other musher in history has. He has just won his fourth straight Iditarod sled race. Mackey came in a strong first place in the grueling 1,100-mile Alaskan race. He won with the second fastest time in the history of the race, and he came in just under 9 days. Mackey was diagnosed with cancer only 3 days after his first race ended in 2001. His struggle with cancer left him with limited mobility in his right arm, the loss of parts of his jawbone and 10 of his teeth, and a finger removed due to the unbearable pain of the extensive nerve damage that he suffered. Mackey is a medical marijuana patient in Alaska, but this year organizers for the event decided to drug test the mushers. The Iditarod dogs have been tested for years. Mackey has admitted to using medical marijuana during previous races, and some mushers were complaining that Mackey had an unfair advantage due to his marijuana use. Mackey said he has felt singled out by the race's new policy, saying it was spurred by jealous competitors trying to get him disqualified. Race officials said that the effort was prompted by other Iditarod finishers and conceded that he might not be too far off the point. As the mushers had arrived for the race last week, they were pulled over for testing, and Mackey was the first one tested. He said he has been abstaining and hasn't used cannabis or the marijuana pills prescribed for him due to the importance of the race and his commitment to his dog team. WorkSafe, an Anchorage-based company that tests potential workers for employers, donated the drug testing services. Mackey arrived to cheers at the finish line in Nome, Alaska, with some caribou antlers that he had found about 10 miles from the finish line. He said he's always looking at the scenery, and when something snagged his sled, he got out and spent about 5 minutes digging the antlers out of the snow and raced across the finish line with the antlers on his sled like an oversized hood ornament. When asked how he felt about the drug testing policy shortly after winning the Iditarod on Tuesday, Mackey's reply drew cheers from the crowd of fans. His response? It apparently didn't change the outcome of the race. Good job.
Fourth straight Iditarod winner. You know, I like the idea that they need to test the Iditarod mushers for marijuana because it might be a performance-enhancing substance. Well, maybe, you know, the guy just won his fourth straight, right? How does marijuana help with the dog mushing? Does it give you a special ability to stand there on the sled and say, mush? I can't figure it out. I can't figure it out. And I think, you know, Mackey's on the right tip here of saying it's just jealous competitors. You know, of course you want to test the dogs. You want to make sure that they're not being given any sort of amphetamines or, you know, any sort of performance enhancers or anything like that. But the notion that someone's medical marijuana use could somehow make them better as a dog sled musher, well, that's just a ridiculous notion. Oh, and speaking of ridiculous notions,
is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
That's just in from Kelowna.com. A Royal Canadian Mounted Police officer driving the Kelowna Detachment's prisoner escort van around 10:15 a.m. noticed the driver of a black Chevrolet coupe on Gordon Drive after he swerved while reaching for something beside him. The cop pulled up to the passenger side of the car at the red light to get a better look. The officer watched in amazement as the 20-year-old man grabbed his bong, loaded it with pot, and then took a hoot, quote, with the policeman right there, not more than 5 feet away, watching everything that was going on, end quote. Kelowna RCMP spokesman Constable Steve Holmes told reporters this morning. Holmes was also dumbfounded by the driver's obliviousness to the cop van sitting beside him. Quote, it's big, it's white, it is fully marked with a light bar on it, strobe lights, and the large RCMP insignia on the doors. It is generally hard to miss, end quote. Oh, man. I hate having to tell these stupid stoner stories, but do they not sell rolling papers in Canada anymore? I mean, you really got to delve deep into the 7-layer dip of dipshit to come up with some dumbass as delicious as this. I mean, number one, do not drive while impaired by cannabis use. Oh, well, okay, then at least don't smoke cannabis while you're driving. Well, all right. If you're going to do that, then at least have the sense to roll a joint that might pass as a cigarette to some driver passing by. Well, all right. If you have to have your bong and your weed in the car, transport it in the trunk and, oh, so you really want a bong hit while you're driving the car? Okay, well, at least pull over off the side of the road, but at a red light? Well, for God's sake, look around first to make sure you're not pulling a rip with someone watching and... All right, idiot. Maybe they won't look or care, but just make sure it's not a cop. Ugh! Stupid stoners. All right, folks. Time for the better news. It's 20 after the hour. Time for us to take a break, get mellow, and relax. Enjoy the green on your St. Paddy's Day. We're right back with your Daily Toker Tunes.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Law420.com.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well-trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
Which of you are ready to admit to having used marijuana in the past? And they want us to go around and ask each of you. Senator Kerry, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Senator Edwards?
Yes.
Senator Lieberman?
Well, you know, I have a reputation for giving unpopular answers at Democratic debates. I never used marijuana. Sorry.
I think you'd probably be a lot cooler if you had, Senator.
Smoke a little pot, drink a little wine. Everything will be just fine.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we get tunes for Irie Wednesday, our celebration of that mellow vibe we find in the best of reggae, ska, calypso, and Latin music. Brought to you by Johnny Reeferseed and the High Rollers, America's favorite red-eyed soul rock and roll band, available now on iTunes and CD Baby. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune. Well, happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone out there, and we are going to get a dose of reggae and maybe a little bit of Irish style in it. We go all the way to Iowa and our good friend Johnny Reeferseed, who's our music editor for Irie Wednesday. Johnny, how are things going?
Good. Happy St. Patrick's Day, Russ.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to you. I saw the name of this tune, or at least the name of the guy who's doing the tune, Paddy Rasta, and I thought, wow, you have found the perfect St. Patrick's Day reggae song. Tell us all about it.
Well, yeah. Well, actually, it's a band, and I was chatting with Kerry yesterday, and we were talking about trying to find some Irish reggae or something, and right after I got done chatting with her, I found these guys, and really good band. So here we go. It's Paddy Rasta from Ireland and Aberdeen, Scotland. They were formed in Aberdeen in November 2004 with Brian Gilligan, Colin Edwards, and Tom Roach began working on Brian's ideas of fusing reggae and Irish music with his own songs. They played their first gig as a support to the legendary Jamaican band The Scandalites in December 2004 and have subsequently performed regularly throughout Scotland. Paddy Rasta plays a fresh, original blend of reggae and traditional Celtic melodies interlude with heartfelt, socially conscious lyrics. The band appeared live on BBC Celtic Connections in February, performing three songs from their debut album. Oh, there goes a motorcycle going by. From their debut album, Listen to Your Heart. Tati Raasta have received airplay on national radio in both the UK and US, with their St. Patrick's Day single release of a reggae version of Molly Malone being championed by DJs on radio shows. They were voted best band on Talk Sports Radio's Mike Mendoza show, and tracks for their album are regularly played on BBC Scotland and the reggae station Big Up Radio. You can find Tati Raasta on MySpace at www.myspace.com, Tati Raasta. And that's spelled T-A-D-D-Y-R-A-S-T-A. And you can find their music on iTunes. Just look them up, and they've got an album on there. So I'm going to light something up here that looks like about 40 shades of green to me, and have a great St. Patrick's Day.
All right. Thank you, Johnny Reefer Seed. This is Tati Raasta with 40 Shades of Green for our St. Patrick's Day. Top of the bud to you. We'll be right back.
Ancient land, the standing stones still stand. Yeah, man. For 5,000 years long, still they stand up strong. Newgrange, temple of the sun. Awake, the time has come. Cause even in the shortest day of the year, the sun shines its light on everyone. Shades of green. Grand Macree, the joy of my heart. 40 shades of green. Speak in the grass and in the trees. Hear the spirit of nature whisper in the breeze. Hear the great mother say, where have my children gone? And hear the great mother say, come back to earth, everyone. Come back to earth, come back to earth. Grand Macree, 40 shades of green. Grand Macree, the joy of my heart. 40 shades of green. We'll be right back.
I love it. Patty Rasta with 40 Shades of Green. Thank you to Johnny Reefer Seed for bringing us that tune. Oh, I just love it. Just made my St. Patrick's Day.
But I don't care. It's 420 some.
All right, it's time to take a look at our cannabis community calendar, which you can find at normal.org/calendar. Kansas City Normal is looking for a street team for the heart of the St. Patrick's Day parade so they can pass out literature and beads. If you'd like to get involved, contact 888-KC-NORMAL. Also, Benzie County Normal in Michigan will be meeting in Benzonia, Michigan. Contact Reverend Steve at 231-882-4496 for further info. Cal State University Fresno Normal is having their meeting at the Family Food and Science Building, Room 216A on the campus of CSU Fresno. And Tulsa Normal will be having their meeting at the Hardesty Regional Library in Oklahoma. Check out tulsanormal.org for details. Tomorrow, Thursday, March 18th, Philly Normal has their open meeting at the A Space. They always meet on the first and third Thursdays of the month. And there are a number of CPC meetings in the San Diego area at the Point Loma Branch Library, Sarah Mesa at the Kearney Mesa Library, and Rancho Bernardo Community Planning at the Oaks North Community Center in San Diego. Check out Normal SC for Normal Southern California for more information on that. And looking forward, way ahead here, I want to give you a couple of heads up notions here. On April 6th, Tuesday, April 6th, San Diego County District Attorney Bonnie Dumanis, the enemy of medical marijuana in San Diego, she will be having a meet and greet session at a local coffee house. We've got more information on this coming up soon, but I just want to get everyone to know April 6th, this was brought to me by San Diego Safe Access. Check them out. I'm not sure what their web address is. Just Google Americans for Safe Access San Diego. They've got the information on this Bonnie Dumanis meet and greet on Tuesday, April 6th. And save the dates for the Normal National Conference, September 9th through 11th. That's a Thursday through Saturday, September 9th through 11th in Portland, Oregon at the Governor's Hotel. It's a beautiful hotel. You'll definitely want to get your reservations as soon as possible. Also that same weekend is Portland Hempstock, the largest hemp rally in Oregon and probably the second largest in the Pacific Northwest after Seattle Hemp Fest. That takes place on the 11th and 12th, the Saturday and Sunday, so you could book for all 4 days and give yourself a really exciting vacation here in the Pacific Northwest. We'll be broadcasting Normal Show live from here and be meeting all of you. So please show up Portland Hempstock and the Normal National Conference, September 9th through the 12th. We'll be right back.
If I were to tell you that in America, right now, over 1 million children sell marijuana, what would you think? Would you think that any public policy that creates over 1 million teenage marijuana dealers needs to be re-examined and possibly amended? You would not be alone. The members of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, aka NORMAL, have been working since 1970 to reform marijuana laws such that responsible adults, not children, sell and use marijuana. Isn't it high time to reform America's misguided marijuana laws? This is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORMAL in Washington, D.C. Only concerned citizens can effectively end the federal government's nearly 70-year-old prohibition on responsible adult marijuana sales and use. Want to know more about how you can help? Contact us at NORMAL, toll-free, 888-67-NORMAL, or by visiting the organization's popular and informative webpage at normal, NORML.org.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
It's time for Normal Show Live's Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York in Albany. Now, open wide and say, here's your dose of cannabis science.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Time for our dose of cannabis science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. We'll be getting him on the line here real quick. Changing things up just a little bit as we've got Ganja John running the boards right now. So he'll be taking your questions through the chat room. Cannabis Kerry will be cutting and pasting him, and then John will be able to see those. Do we have Dr. Mitch on the line?
I think we might.
Hi.
Indeed.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
I'm right here.
We got a whole party going on here, Dr. Mitch. Just to let you know, we've got a volunteer sound engineer working with us now on the show. So, Dr. Mitch Earlywine, meet Ganja John, our engineer.
Hi.
My pleasure.
Nice to meet you.
So what we'll be doing is our standard where we take the questions from the chat room. Kerry will paste those out to John to ask to you. But before we go too far, I wanted to ask you a couple of things here. And first of all is we've been seeing a lot of talk lately about decriminalization of marijuana. And I was wondering if you have information for folks about decrim versus legalization and, you know, how that affects use rates, you know, because a lot of what we hear from our opponents is, you know, if we decriminalize or legalize, the kids will be smoking pot and, you know, there'll be pot zombies roaming the streets. What's the real truth from the evidence we have?
The bottom line is some really big studies done in Australia comparing some territories that basically have depenalized, as they call it over there, to some that didn't, show that basically when you're in a situation where cops can hand you a ticket and take your pot, but you can't actually get booked or fingerprinted or anything like that for it, we've seen no increase in use comparing those territories to territories that have the old-fashioned, you know, waste 8 hours fingerprinting some guy who's obviously not worth prosecuting. And so that was pretty compelling. When we look at states that have decrim versus states that don't, there don't seem to be any systematic differences here in the United States. Some folks think that that has something to do with the way the laws are enforced in different states, but the bottom line is, again, we don't see any differences. And then Karen O'Keefe and I reviewed a huge bunch of literature on the medical marijuana states and non-medical marijuana states and use among teens. And again, we're not seeing any differences as far as teen use rates in medical marijuana states versus other. And in fact, when you talk to teens in some medical marijuana states, they say, why would I want to use grandma's medicine? Right. That doesn't sound like fun.
You know, and this is important because we just got the news from Rhode Island that their Senate panel has gone forward and recommended decriminalization. And, you know, surprise of surprises, the only three people to vote against it were former members of law enforcement. So same old story. Let's get to our questions here from the live chat room. John's got them coming up here. John, what's our first question today?
Our first question is from Negatron, and he asks, why does marijuana make you cough? And is it related to THC? And does the THC make you cough?
Is it the actual THC that causes the coughing or the smoke?
As it turns out, THC doesn't increase your coughing. And in fact, when you see folks who use edibles, they don't cough. And in truth, vaporizer users don't seem to cough much unless they take just the giant hit. And so it does seem to be the ingestion of some of the things that are correlates of the smoke. Some of them are, you know, mildly noxious gases, or even small particles, and what a surprise, your lungs will kick that out, but that's pretty much what they've evolved to do.
What about the old saying, you know, they say it's the hit that makes you cough that gets you off. Is there any truth to that?
As it turns out, the anecdotal evidence is so overwhelming that no one's ever done it in the lab. The argument that, oh, you'll break a blood vessel and there'll be more exposure to the THC doesn't seem to really be true. In truth, if you cough really hard from anything, you do get kind of a mild change in subjective state, and I'm afraid folks are confusing that for some kind of increase in subjective effects of THC.
Okay. Let's go to another chat question.
Our next question is from 420 Unicorn, my favorite question of the day. Why does marijuana make sex feel better? And she's serious.
I'm completely serious, too, because the data are overwhelming. But we should all go out and gather more whenever we get the chance. Since Charlie Tart's first study in 1971 of just self-reports on this, every subjective sense of touch tends to alter in response to the plant. So it shouldn't be a ton of surprise that this happens. We also have a subjective slowing of the sense of time. And so, of course, orgasm seems to last longer. Unfortunately, some women complain that men think foreplay is lasting longer when it's not. So we at least have two increases in sensitivity of touch and alteration of time that are contributing to that. That's the bottom line. Is the cannabinoid receptor involved in sex more generally? It doesn't look like it. Downstream, maybe some other receptor systems are affected, but they're the ones that just sort of make you happier anyway.
Dr. Minch, did you just tell us that the guy who did the study on cannabis and sex was named Dr. Tart?
Yes. Charlie Tart. He's a great guy. I don't know what to say.
What is it?
He and Fred Blow, Mitch Earlywine, we got great names.
Yeah, Fred Blow studies cocaine, Mitch Earlywine studies alcohol. It's just, you doctors, you plan this, don't you? You get together in medical school.
If you don't know what you're going to do, just look to your own name.
I guess so. All right, let's get another question, John.
Our next question is from Mambo Stone and asks, is it true that pot in general will help with cancer patients with their nausea, or is it dependent on the strain? And they ask because sometimes certain strains got them sick and certain strains worked better.
Yeah, in fact, there's incredible variation, and that's what's so sad about any studies that were restricted to the NIDA cannabis on, is it's all one strain and relatively low in potency, so we don't get the kind of impact that we could. Trying to do some systematic things, collaborating with a number of folks out in California, and it's just very hard to get this kind of research off the ground. But the subjective effects that folks report in response to some of the sativa strains in particular seem to be the anti-nausea ones. But again, you have to ask, and I've been delighted at a number of the dispensaries that are really good at pointing out the ones that are better for anti-nausea and other strains that might be more appropriate for other symptoms. But there's definitely a vast variation on that.
How much data is there on the different strains? Are there dispensaries that are trying to figure this out, or any studies that are trying to, you know, quantify exactly what's going on with the different strains?
There have been some wonderful things from, you know, Valerie and my corral, just looking at different strains that seem to help people with different symptoms, done very systematically with the folks who are out there at WAM, but they can't then go send their strains to a lab and find out, is it THC, is it cannabidiol, is it is it some other cannabinoid? And because of that sort of bottleneck, if you will, we can't really figure out the chemical thing that's going on, but we do get some wonderful correlational data about individual strains that is relatively reliable and something you can usually count on.
Yeah, just another reason why we need to end marijuana prohibition so we can get the real science to work on this stuff, and eventually people could go...
Oh, there's so much to learn.
Yeah, we could go by a strain and know exactly the percentage of THC, CBD, CBN, CBD, cannabidiol, cannabidabadoo, you know, whatever else is in there. We'll find all that out. All right, let's get another question, John.
Okay, our next question is from some Puerto Rican. Dr. Mitch, I have chronic knee pain, and my father's a doctor. He wants to put me on pharma drugs, but they make me feel like a zombie. What would be a good way to convince him that marijuana would be better?
The clincher here when I'm dealing with physicians is usually making it crystal clear that you understand about dosage and that you've got some evidence that it helps your symptoms. So I think most docs are afraid of cannabis because they can't control the amount that you're going to take. And if you can explain that here's, you know, half a gram vaporized and here's what it does for me personally and I can chart all my symptoms and show this to you, that's one thing. Depending on the disorder involved, some of the published literature can already offer some support for you. I review this in Understanding Marijuana. And feel free to email me. I'm happy to send you along any newer studies that would be helpful.
Yeah, and check out Dr. Mitch's email address is 420research@gmail.com, 420research@gmail.com. You can ask all your questions, and I'm sure he'll give you links to all of his books. You can find some great arguments when you're trying to convince parents or other folks that, you know, need to know more about the truth about cannabis. Let's get another question, John.
Okay, our next one is from Cake420. And asks, what are your thoughts on Rick Simpson and the Phoenix Tier oils and hemp oil? And what are your thoughts on its actual significance in curing cancer?
I've discussed this with a number of folks and seem to have enraged a few. If it's working for you, by all means, God bless. I think that's wonderful. We don't have the systematic, you know, randomized clinical trials yet. It's certainly compelling, the idea that, you know, THC is a very powerful antioxidant and it could contribute to health in a number of ways. We've seen data in the Petri dish that show that THC can decrease tumor growth. And so, I mean, it seems
tenable, it seems possible. You know, even if it's 1,000 cases, anecdotal evidence is only anecdotal evidence. Cancer is an odd disorder, and it remits sometimes spontaneously. Symptoms ebb and flow. Tumor growth alters just at random with no treatment or with standard treatments. So I don't want to interpret some of those random variations as evidence for something working, which is often something that can happen when you're trying to interpret things from anecdotal evidence.
Yeah. You know, when I think of this issue, I think, you know, go ahead and try it. I don't see how it could be harmful. Where I start to worry is where people want to try it in lieu of other treatments that have been proven to be successful. Is that something you would get on board with?
I think that's a great way of putting it, and I also feel like the clincher is knowing your source. Some people know how to make oil in a way that isn't going to be at all toxic or problematic. There are some other things on the Internet that I look at the chemicals involved and think an amateur chemist should not go anywhere near this. The process itself would probably explode, and what they would get out of it wouldn't necessarily be the kind of oil you would want to ingest.
Okay, let's get another question.
Legalized WV asks, can cannabis help with sciatic pain, nerve damage related to degenerative discs? And also, can it treat OCD, anxiety, depression? They ask all these together because they have all these symptoms.
Well, the clincher seems to be any kind of pain has the potential to respond. There isn't anything published on sciatic pain per se. We've seen some wonderful things with neuropathic pain, which works a little differently, but it certainly would be worth a try. Depression, the data are mixed. There's a subset of folks who seem to respond well or at least don't respond negatively. Anxiety is not the kind of thing that I really think a pharmacological treatment is appropriate. We've got wonderful 12-session behavioral treatments for anxiety, 3 months of hard work with a therapist, and you're amazed at how, you know, basically mellow and relaxed you can become just changing some of your activities and the way you look at the world. I think all in all, it's worth a try, but there are definitely better treatments for some of the things that were mentioned.
Okay.
Destruction is asking, why do you think the government is ignoring the AMA's request to reschedule marijuana?
Well, that could be a long or a short answer, but the bottom line is we've always had trouble decreasing the penalties for anything once they've been established. We always are great at writing more laws. We're very bad at taking laws off the books more generally. Also, I think that there's still a whole lot of misinformation. Sure, everybody we know understands that the hype we learned in seventh grade about having kids with one eye in the middle of their heads isn't true, but a lot of voters and a lot of folks in elected positions still have that, or fear that the people who elected them still have those attitudes, and it's, you know, our job to go out and educate.
You know, that's a real good point. I just was looking over some numbers coming out of Texas. I was emailing back and forth with a couple of activists, and they pointed out how there's a majority support for medical marijuana in Texas. You know, I forget what the majority was, but if it's, you know, similar to other states, above 60, we can certainly say that. But when they also asked, do you think other Texans support the idea of medical marijuana? It was like 80% said no. It's like everybody supported medical marijuana themselves, but they're so isolated by this ignorance and this fear-mongering that they think all of their neighbors are against them. Have you seen that in your research when you're trying to convince people about the medical utility of marijuana?
Well, and the irony is it's counter to almost every other psychological phenomenon. If you ask people, are other people similar to you, they usually say yes. But on this one domain, they seem to say no. And it's particularly sad in elected officials who I know are on our side but are quaking in fear because 51% of their constituents might think otherwise. Mm,
yeah, it's an amazing phenomenon. All right, let's see if we can get another question here from the chat room. We are speaking with Dr. Mitch Earlywine from SUNY Albany. He's a professor of psychology there and knows all about the history, science, culture, and health of marijuana. One more question here. Let's go.
Lord Bonghitter's asking, I think he's asking about hash oil here. What's a better way of extraction as far as ingesting it, which will be less harmful to your body, isopropyl alcohol or butane extraction?
Oh, I mean, in truth, the well-done oil from either one of those is okay, but the opportunity for mix-ups are a little worse with butane, but we're splitting hairs here.
Yeah, it's more the process of making it that's going to be likely to harm you than what you get after the extraction, right?
Well, and again, if you're doing a thorough job and the reaction runs its full course, but leftover isopropyl alcohol is nothing to ingest, and you don't want to go anywhere near leftover butane.
Yeah, I kind of prefer the bubble bag methods of making hash, the ice extractions and things like that seem to be much safer in my opinion.
Well, and those are literally hash rather than the oil. The cannabis is so good lately, I see no reason to go through all this trouble.
Oh, yeah. Well, Dr. Mitch, thanks for joining us here on our Cannabis Science segment. He joins us every Wednesday, and we appreciate all the knowledge you give us.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, we'll be right back after these messages. A little radical rant on some
Reaper
Madness.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
It's tough talking to kids about marijuana, especially if you might be a parent who dabbled a time or two in your youth. So to help you out, get your copy of Dr. Mitch Earlywine's latest book, A Parent's Guide to Marijuana. Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and an expert on the studies concerning marijuana, its effect on health and society, and the methodology behind the statistics. He is a frequent guest here on our daily audio stash. Dr. Earlywine lays it all out without the propaganda and scare tactics that parents know won't work with teenagers. He presents a rational understanding of cannabis, what it is and what it isn't, and why kids shouldn't be using marijuana. You can order today through Amazon.com or check our links at our blog, stash.normal.org.
The Emerald Sun will rise on St. Paddy's Day, March 17, 2010. Emerald Sun is opening up our design studio at 9423 North Division in Spokane. We're at the Y. Visit us at www.emerald-sun.com for details on our specialty threads and designs with the cannabis culture in mind.
Is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
All right, I want to take some time here at the end of the show to clear up some reefer madness once again from the Christian Science Monitor. They recently published an editorial where they were just praising the Obama White House and specifically drug czar Kerlikowske for a recent speech. The editorial board of the Christian Science Monitor said, quote, "The Obama White House has finally laid out its most thorough reasoned rebuttal to arguments for marijuana legalization, countering a campaign that is gaining alarming momentum at the state level." Of course, I was thrilled about this because I love thorough and reasoned rebuttals. What was the thorough and reasoned rebuttal? Mr. Kerlikowske said, quote, "Marijuana legalization, for any purpose, is a non-starter in the Obama administration." End quote. Yeah, there you go. That's your thorough and reasoned response. But this comes in response, of course, to California most likely being voting on marijuana legalization through citizen initiative this November and very likely to pass it. And the folks at the Christian Science Monitor are concerned and they say, quote, "The drug czar's remarks are worth notice for two reasons. First, they provide needed talking points to those who oppose legalization, but who can't seem to make their message resonate in the face of well-financed, well-organized pro-marijuana efforts." Well-financed and well-organized. Look, there are at least six different national groups I can think of off the top of my head. Normal, MPP, DPA, ASA, SSDP, SAFER, no, make that seven, LEAP, that all are for marijuana legalization. Our complete budget, like if you took all of our organizations combined, our budget would maybe be $10 million. The Drug Czar's annual budget this year is $15.5 billion. So, doesn't it seem odd that we're outgunned 1,550 to 1 in dollars and the fact that most people would just consider us a bunch of potheads, versus the might, power, and prestige of the entire federal government, but they're having the problem getting their message to resonate? That seems pretty telling, doesn't it? Now, as the Christian Science Monitor continued, they said, the drug czar couldn't be more plain. On medical marijuana, he says, science should determine what medicine is, not popular vote. As Kerlikowske pointed out, marijuana is harmful and has the studies to back it up. Read the footnotes in his speech. They're sobering, especially footnote number 8. Now, I really like that he mentioned footnote number 8 because in that footnote number 8, he references the work of Dr. Donald P. Tashkin. And Dr. Donald P. Tashkin is the U.S. government researcher or researcher funded by the government who has spent 30 years trying to find a link between lung cancer, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and chronic pot smoking. And this man said, quote, what we found instead was no association between long-term marijuana use and pulmonary disease and lung cancer and even a suggestion of some protective effect. He also said, quote, at this point, I'd be in favor of legalization. So thank you, Drug Czar Kerlikowske, for noting that in your footnotes. Another one of the notes in his footnotes was from the Beckley Foundation in the United Kingdom. The Beckley Foundation recently said, quote, there is no justification for incarcerating an individual for a cannabis possession or use offense, nor for creating a criminal conviction. This comes on the heels of a 10-year study in the United Kingdom that looked at over 150 different mental hospitals and found that despite cannabis use going up significantly in the United Kingdom over that 10-year period, schizophrenia and psychosis remained the same. And it was only a matter of time before the Christian Science Monitor would jump on board this gravy train that's been building steam in the prohibitionist movement, where they say, quote, the recent Pentagon shooter, John Patrick Bedell, was a heavy marijuana user. Marijuana smoking made his thinking more disordered and implored him to stop smoking pot. Yeah, again, they're trying to say the guy that went crazy and shot up the Pentagon because he was a marijuana user, well, that led to psychosis. So is that going to be our standard now, that if someone who's mentally ill who takes a drug and then goes kills a bunch of people, we then outlaw that drug? Because I'd like to remind you that Eric Harris shot up the Columbine High School on 4/20/1999, and he had been using prescription antidepressants. And let's note all the people that get drunk and shoot up their office or have been using other sorts of selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, SSRIs, or any of these other major antidepressants that have led to all sorts of people losing it and shooting people up. Okay, so right there, that ought to give, you know, if that's going to be our standard, there's going to be a whole lot of drugs we're going to have to ban. That is for sure. Now, in another quote here from the Christian Science Monitor, they say they try to counteract our idea that taxing and regulating marijuana would be a good way for the states to make money. And they say, well, Kerlikowske comes back and says, well, the taxes we make off of alcohol only cover 10% of the social costs related to the health care for alcohol. Well, sure, that's absolutely true, because alcohol is addictive and bad for you and can kill you. Cannabis cannot, so the idea that the cost would be the same are ridiculous. Also, let's look at that Canadian study that came in last year where they assessed that the cost of one tobacco user in health costs to Canada per year was $800. The cost of one alcohol user to Canada was $165. The cost of a cannabis consumer, $20. So the Christian Science Monitor is completely full of it, all full of reefer madness. Check out my post at stash.normal.org to get more of the details. I'm Radical Russ for Ganja John and Cannabis Carry. Thanks for joining us here for Normal Show Live. We'll be right back tomorrow, 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for the replays. I'm Radical Russ for Normal.org. Check us out at our blog, stash.normal.org. Follow me at Radical Russ on Twitter. Email stash at normal.org. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed.
take a scene, you plan it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down super.